Hear us, great kings. Vouchsafe a while to stay, and I shall show you peace and fair-faced league. Win you this city without stroke or wound. Rescue those breathing lives to die in beds, that here come sacrifices for the field. Persever not, but hear me, mighty kings.
Speak on with favor. We are bent to hear.
That daughter there of Spain, the Lady Blanche, is niece to England. Look upon the years of Louis the Dauphin and that lovely maid. If lusty love should go in quest of beauty, where should he find it fairer than in Blanche? If zealous love should go in search of virtue, where should he find it purer than in Blanche? If love ambitious sought a match of birth, whose veins bound richer blood than Lady Blanche? Such as she is in beauty, virtue, birth, is the young Dauphin every way complete? If not complete all, say he is not she, and she again wants nothing to name want, if wanted be not that she is not he. He is the half part of a blessed man, left to be finished by such a she, and she a fair divided excellence, whose fullness of perfection lies in him. Oh, two such silver currents, when they join, do glorify the banks that bound them in, and two such shores to two such streams made one, two such controlling bounds shall you be, kings, to these two princes, if you marry them. This union shall do more than battery can to our fast closed gates, for at this match, with swifter spleen than powder can enforce, the mouth of passage shall we fling wide ope and give you entrance. But without this match, the sea enraged is not half so deaf, lions more confident, mountains and rocks more free from motion. No, not death himself in mortal fury half so peremptory as we to keep this city.
Here's a stay that shakes the rotten carcass of old death out of his rags. Here's a large mouth indeed that spits forth death and mountains, rocks and seas, talks as familiarly of roaring lions as maids of 13 do of puppy dogs. What cannoneer begot this lusty blood? He speaks plain cannon fire and smoke and bounce. He gives the bastinado with his tongue. Our ears are cudgelled. Not a word of his but buffets better than a fist of France. Zounds, I was never so be-thumped with words since I first called my brother's father dad.
Son, list to this conjunction. Make this match. Give with our niece a dowry large enough. For by this knot thou shalt so surely tie thy now unsured assurance to the crown, that yon green boy shall have no son to ripe the bloom that promiseth a mighty fruit. I see a yielding in the looks of France. Mark how they whisper. Urge them while their souls are capable of this ambition, lest zeal, now melted by the windy breath of soft petitions, pity and remorse, cool and congeal again to what it was.
Why answer not the double majesties this friendly treaty of our threatened town?
Speak England first, that hath been forward first to speak unto this city. What say you?
If that the Dauphin there, thy princely son, can in this book of beauty read, I love, her dowry shall weigh equal with a queen. For Anjou and fair Touraine, Maine, Poitiers, and all that we upon this side the sea, except this city, now by us besieged, find liable to our crown and dignity, shall gild her bridal bed, and make her rich in titles, honours, and promotions, as she in beauty, education, blood, holds hand with any princess of the world.
What sayst thou, boy? Look in the lady's face.
I do, my lord. And in her eye I find a wonder. or a wondrous miracle, the shadow of myself formed in her eye, which, being but the shadow of your son, becomes a son, and makes your son a shadow. I do protest I never loved myself, till now infixed I beheld myself, drawn in the flattering table of her eye.
Drawn in the flattering table of her eye. Hanged in the frowning wrinkle of her brow, and quartered in her heart, he doth espy himself love's traitor. This is pity now that hanged and drawn and quartered there should be in such a love so vile a lout as he.
My uncle's will in this respect is mine. If he see aught in you that makes him like, that anything he sees which moves his liking, I can with ease translate it to my will. Or if you will, to speak more properly, I will enforce it easily to my love. Further, I will not flatter you, my lord, that all I see in you is worthy love, than this, that nothing do I see in you, though churlish thoughts themselves should be your judge, that I can find should merit any hate.
What say these young ones? What say you, my niece?
That she is bound in honour still to do what you in wisdom still vouchsafe to say.
Speak then, Prince Dauphin. Can you love this lady?
Nay, ask me if I can refrain from love, for I do love her most unfeignedly.
Then do I give Volquesson, Touraine, Maine, Poitiers, and Anjou, these five provinces with her to thee. And this addition more, full 30,000 marks of English coin. Philip of France, if thou be pleased with all, command thy son and daughter to join hands.
It likes us well. Young princes, close your hands.
And your lips, too. For I am well assured that I did so when I was first assured.
Now, citizens of Angers, ope your gates. Let in that amity which you have made. For at St. Mary's Chapel presently, the rites of marriage shall be solemnized. Is not the Lady Constance in this troop? I know she is not, for this match made up, her presence would have interrupted much. Where is she and her son? Tell me who knows.
She is sad and passionate at your highness' tent.
And by my faith, this league that we have made will give her sadness very little cure. Brother of England, how may we content this widow lady? In her right we came, which we, God knows, have turned another way, to our own vantage.
We will heal up all, for we'll create young Arthur Duke of Britain and Earl of Richmond, and this rich fair town we make him lord of. Call the Lady Constance. Some speedy messenger bid her repair to our solemnity. I trust we shall, if not fill up the measure of her will, yet in some measure satisfy her so that we shall stop her exclamation. Go we, as well as haste will suffer us, to this unlooked-for, unprepared pomp.
Mad world, mad kings, mad composition. John, to stop Arthur's title in the hole, hath willingly departed with a part. And France, whose armor conscience buckled on, whom zeal and charity brought to the field as God's own soldier, rounded in the ear with that same purpose changer, that sly devil, that broker that still breaks the pate of faith, that daily break vow, he that wins of all, of kings, of beggars, old men, young men, maids, who, having no external thing to lose but the word maid, cheats the poor maid of that, that smooth-faced gentleman, tickling commodity. Commodity, the bias of the world. The world, who of itself is paced well, made to run even upon even ground, till this advantage, this vile drawing bias, this sway of motion, this commodity, makes it take head from all indifferency, from all direction, purpose, course, intent, and this same bias, this commodity, this board, this broker, this all-changing word, clapped on the outward eye of fickle France, hath drawn him from his own determined aid, from a resolved and honorable war, to a most base and vile concluded peace. And why rail I on this commodity? But for because he hath not wooed me yet, not that I have the power to clutch my hand when his fair angels would salute my palm, but for my hand, as unattempted yet, like a poor beggar, raileth on the rich. Well, whiles I am a beggar, I will rail, and say there is no sin but to be rich. And being rich, my virtue then shall be to say there is no vice but beggary. Since kings break faith upon commodity, gain be my lord, for I will worship thee.